Amen. This is the fifth in a series that we've entitled Parent Power. And really, as parents, we've been given an incredible amount of authority in the life of our children. And we've been talking about what a great responsibility that is. And so we've covered several different things. We've talked about how parents need to be strong spiritually and emotionally and be in a healthy place yourself so that you can raise your children to have strong, stable, healthy spiritual lives. Last week we were in Proverbs chapter 22. We'll be back there today, but we're looking at some pro tips from Proverbs. After all, Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived, and it's a lot of good stuff in those Proverbs. And last week we talked about how foolishness is found in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it out. And I've been listening closely, grateful that no petitions have been started in the children's area. And so thank God for that. But seriously, Proverbs 22 has some other powerful information for those of us who are parents or grandparents, really for all of us, because we're all children and we're all being parented by a perfect Father. So it all fits for each of us, regardless of where we may be in life. The scripture for today, Proverbs 22, verse 6. I've got it on the screen for you. You can pull it up on your smartphone. Some of you have already committed it to memory. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the general principle or idea is there's a right way to raise our children so that they'll live a certain way throughout their lifetime. There's a way we can raise our children that even if they leave the path because of the seed we've sown into them, the Spirit of God will be able to move upon them through challenge, conviction, and correction to bring them back to what they know to be true. So as we begin this morning, stepping into this verse, I want to encourage you, regardless of where you may be as a parent, you may have little ones at home right now, and you're in the middle of that. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you how sore I am today. I mean, I've got muscles aching that I didn't know I had. The only other time I remember being this sore was when I was like 24, 25 years old, and I was pouring an 80-foot driveway, 12-foot by 80-foot driveway, and my help didn't show up to help me, and I had to pour all that concrete by myself, level it out, screed it out, and finish it out in the middle, I think it was the month of August, and it was so hot, and I basically crawled home that afternoon. I was so sore. Well, I'm almost that sore this morning, and you know why? Because since Thursday noon, Mickey and I have been chasing a 3-year-old grandson and a year-and-a-half-old granddaughter. Daddy and Mama came and rescued us late yesterday afternoon. But I am sore. And my appreciation for those, particularly mamas, in our midst this morning, although my appreciation was always already here, it's like way up here now. What you go through and what you have to do to take care of the little dads, I know it, you too, but we might as well bow our knees to the mamas this morning for how they nurture and care for little ones, because it was on. And of course, last week I talked about foolishness being bound in the heart of a child. And well, I believe the final score at the end of the weekend was like 39-34. And the little ones won. Seriously, I was reminded of how much energy is required to raise children, but also how absolutely wonderful it is. It's amazing to see their little gears turning behind those eyes and to see how they think and how they can imagine and how they play. And I didn't see any of them moping or worrying about everything going on in the world. They were just having a good time. And how wonderful it is to be entrusted with the care of little ones. Matter of fact, Jesus takes that pretty seriously. He said, it would be better for you if a millstone were tied around your neck and you were cast into the sea than you offend one of these little ones of His. Yeah, oh me, huh? But seriously, how precious they are to Him and to us. And we want to do the best job we can be of being good parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. Do we have any great-great-grandparents this morning? I know we have several great-grandparents, right? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. What if you've got a child that's away from the Lord? And you may be one of those parents that thinks, well, I had them in church and I raised them and I prayed for them and I know the Word, but they're not living for the Lord. I want to encourage you. I want you to think about these three things quickly. Agree with God's will for them, no matter where they are, how far away from the Lord they may be, or how differently they may be living than how you knew they were raised to live. Or it could be that you're a parent and you realize, I missed the mark. I didn't pour into my kids what I should have, and I regret that. Where you are right now, this morning, either case, just agree with God's will for them. He's not willing that they perish. His will is for them to live for Him. His will is for them to be blessed. His will is for them to receive His Word, His revelation, and walk in the glory of it. Amen. Agree with God for them. Secondly, keep your own heart in a place of faith. There's always warfare over promise. And here, the promise is, you raise your children a certain way, you put into them what you need to put into them for God, then it'll pay off in the long run. Believe that. Stand on it. Agree, there's going to be warfare against you to back off, to dig up the seed, to back off, to get in doubt and unbelief and think, well, maybe that's not right. No, you take your stand on the promise. You war with it. Keep your own heart in a place of faith. Because nobody, I don't believe that anyone, has the authority for a child like Mama and Daddy do. So don't forget that there's going to be warfare against you to discourage you, to shut you down, to want to give up. No, you contend. You believe. And then remember, thirdly, the final chapter has not yet been written in the life of your child. You know the plans He has for them. Plans for good and not evil. Plans to prosper them and give them a future filled with hope. So I just wanted to begin by encouraging you if you're in that place. Now, the next template I want to lay over this scripture before we dive into it has to do with whatever you do when it comes to training up your child, keep love at the heart of it. Love never. The great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Love. It's at the heart of what God's up to. God is love. The enemy wants you to, correct your children, but by doing it in a way that you provoke them to wrath. We talked about that last week. And if he can't get you to ignore them or forget them, then he'll try to get you to do the right things in the wrong way. We just have to be aware of these strategies of the enemy. So one way to keep yourself in the right place, am I being motivated by love? Am I about to do this because I'm so angry? Or am I doing it because I love my child enough to help them in this moment so that they won't do something worse later? So that's always a good cue card for us. Is this love? And is my heart in a place of love? Most of us have done some study on the five love languages. A number of years ago, a brother by the name of Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. It's helped a lot of marriages because, I'm not saying that that's all the love languages. Certainly love is more than what the book would reveal it to be. But the fact is, it is helpful because he brings out these five love languages. They can be used in a marriage, but then he followed that up with the five love languages for your child. And so when we're talking about training up a child and keeping love at the heart of it, here's you five areas to keep in mind. This is ways that we can express love in our marriage, but as it relates to children, physical touch. They need cuddles and kisses and hugs from daddy and mama. That's important. That gives them a sense of protection, of being loved, of well-being. They need words of affirmation. And, you know, if the Holy Spirit moving in our life produces love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, self-control, those things, and we need to be sure that the words we're speaking to our children will encourage them in the direction of the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, we want to build character in them with affirming words. Now, we can come from a perspective of just criticizing, being quick to point out failures. Well, you missed it. You don't measure up. Won't you ever do that right? Why can't you do that like your brother? Well, your sister did that real quickly. What's your problem? You can criticize. You can come at it that angle. And what you'll do is you'll drive that child away from you. Or you can come at it with words of affirmation. It's like, wow, that was a good try, but let me share with you something I learned, because I used to do that, but I found a better way. And you can affirm them in that way, because the goal is to help them, not to reduce them to a heap of insecure, being insecure and feeling afraid to do anything. You want to awaken their destiny, awaken the God life in them, awaken good character in them, and you can do that by using affirming words in the right way. Think of it this way. When the devil's moving and working, even the devil uses the Scripture. When he came against Jesus, he would use the Scripture against Jesus. Right word, wrongly used, wrongly applied. So that when the enemy's working, it usually will come across accusing. Well, if you're God's son, then prove it, do this. That's the enemy. But when the Holy Spirit's moving, He leads, He beckons, He woos. When the Holy Spirit's working, see, you can become convicted, you can become challenged, you can become repentant, but when the Holy Spirit's moving, you feel drawn to the Lord. The Lord's pointing this out, and He loves me, and I need God. I need Jesus to help me. That's the Holy Spirit's work. But when the spirit of the accuser is at work, it will drive people away from God. It'll drive them away from you. I feel accused. I feel condemned. All you're doing is just pointing out my failures and not offering me a step forward, not offering me the way out of this, some information that I can do better. So to train and instruct is the idea of providing information that helps you to do life in a better way. So it's important that we keep love at the heart of this. And then he talks about acts of service. There's so much sacrifice involved. And all of these, by the way, is kind of like could be a chart on a refrigerator, what mamas do all the time. Gifts. Special surprises, treats, just unearned, unmerited, but just, I want to show you, I want to do something special for you. Husbands, a similar reaction happens when you tell your wife, I'm just sitting here thinking how much I would love to wash the dishes for you today. Or where's that vacuum cleaner? I just feel the urge to hear the vroom, you know. Acts of service. This is one my wife particularly enjoys, that when I do this, when I do those things, she knows I'm saying I love you. And it's the same way kids can be taught these, and like quality time. That's distraction-free time together. Yeah, just a minute. No, I'm here with you, but just a minute. Just a minute. No, I'm here with you in the present moment, eye to eye, heart to heart. Daddy loves you. Yeah, giving them your full attention. Works in a marriage, but works with kids. We all need these things. Let me. You look at that list. The Lord provides that. Even physical touch, He became a man. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's one of the, when you read the Gospels of God taking on human flesh, He touched the leper. He touched the lame. He touched the hurting. You know, during World War I, there were so many orphans that they had them in these bassinets in these huge rooms, and they didn't have enough nurses or caregivers to, like, spend time with them each day, taking and holding them. They'd just feed them and move on. And they said there were so many problems created in the lives of those children because they were not given physical touch. You may not have been raised in a home where there was much, there may not have been, like, physical affection displayed, like, I love you, give me a hug, that kind of thing. Or some of you may have been in situations where it was violated. Don't allow any of those things to keep you from giving what your child needs in any of these areas. So important. So if we're going to train them up in the way they should go, it's going to be the way of love. If we're going to train them up in the way they should go, it's going to be with us standing on the promises, believing that God's Word is true. Now, back to this scripture. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That word way means a path, a course that one would travel. The way he should go, notice that, the way he should go. That's like there's an obligation, if you're going to do it right, a moral obligation, that this would be the direction this child needs to go. Now, there's some general principles. Should always walk the path of righteousness. The general principle is there's a broad path that leads to destruction. There's a narrow path that leads to life, and that everlasting. So we want to walk the Christian path. Jesus said, I am the way. So it's going to be the Christ way. That's for all of our kids. But we're going to see in this message this morning that it also can entail you partnering with God and identifying what God has created your child to do. To help your child have the best opportunity to become aware of what their God-given destiny is. What God has put in them to accomplish in their life. The way they should go. So, let's step into this. This word train is a Hebrew word. You'll see it occurring like five times in Hebrew Old Testament, four of those times. It's the word that's used to speak of dedicating a temple or a house, dedicating something or someone to the Lord. That's the meaning of it. And so that's the first thing we want to talk about is dedication. Now, when each of our four children were born, and I've seen this in our grandchildren too, shortly after they were born, you know, I had the privilege of being with Mickey when she gave birth to all four of our children. And wow, what mama goes through. But wow, what joy. The doctor delivers that child and then takes that baby and gives it to mom. She holds that baby on her chest. It's beautiful. And then there comes a moment when they'll take the baby and daddy gets to hold the baby for the first time. Wow. You know. Wow. And when our four children were born, when that time came and I held the baby, that's when we said, Lord, this baby, this child, Andrew, or Carabeth, or Elliot, or Nathan, as the case was, a gift from you. Thank you. And Lord, we give this child to you. May this child live for you always. We release this child into your hands to watch over this child's life. And Lord, grace us to steward well these children as their parents. To dedicate your child. I hope you've done that. I think most of you probably did a similar thing when your child was born. And see, we have a public dedication as well for Jesus. It's when he was 8 days old. But here, a couple of times a year or so, we'll have a public dedication. Because we have babies coming into this place. Thank God. They're gifts from God. And we have a Sunday when dad and mom come up and bring the little ones. And they stand here holding their little ones and say, we are making a public commitment today. We're going to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And before God and all of you who are witnesses, we dedicate this child to the Lord. That this child will walk in God's ways. And then we have the privilege as pastors to lay hands on and to speak blessings over these children as the congregation's in agreement. That it's just the God thing to do. To give our children to the Lord. That's the very meaning of to train, is to dedicate. Now, in my younger years, and some of you will remember this, back before the internet came, and when you were away from home, you pretty much listened to the radio. I mean, Walkmans came out, and then you could buy recorded music, but we just used the radio a lot more than we may do today, because we have so much, we have a brain in our pocket that can connect with everything going on in the world. But back then, we'd listen to the radios. A lot of the radio stations would have a dedication hour at night. You know, you'd be listening to the, I'm a 70s guy, listening to some of those love songs in the 70s. And so the dedication hour would come on. And this is the kind of thing that would happen during the dedication hour on old time radio. Well, Eddie has just called in here on the dedication line, and I'm about to play Close to You by the Carpenters. And Eddie sends this out in dedication to Mickey. Then they come on and they sing that beautiful long song, like, My Heart Longs to Be Close to You. And everybody that's listening to that knows that this is what Eddie's thinking about Mickey. And Mickey's listening, thinking about how Eddie's thinking about her. And they're joining their hearts together in the lyrics of this song. That's dedication line. That means to dedicate something. Our children, we're doing this for their sake, unto the Lord, and to the Lord for His honor and glory. This child came from the Lord. Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a gift from Him. So we are acknowledging, Lord, this child is Your gift. And to dedicate the life of Your child to the Lord. And whatever that might look like in that child, in any of the seven mountains of culture, for that child to go out armed and ready, strong and stable, full of the Word, full of the Spirit, living for God in this world. Not a, let's dig a hole and live in it till Jesus comes back. But no, let's raise up some champions and forerunners and warriors and send them out. But not before they're ready. That's the train up process. I mean, any good army is going to have a boot camp and a training time before they send troops into battle. And one of the problems in today's culture is that we are allowing children to think they're adults way before they are. This scripture says, train up a child. That means a child. One who is not yet an adult. A five-year-old cannot think on with the experience and awareness of what they need to be aware of that an adult can. I've already shared with you in this series, they say you're 25 before your brain fully matures. Some of us, it may take 30 or 40 years longer than that. But seriously, it's a child. And they're dedicated to the Lord. But listen, we need to realize there is an Antichrist spirit. Has been since the early church. I've been teaching some on that on Wednesday nights. And the last several weeks ago. But it's here now. And it's like, I believe there's a proliferation of that. And you're seeing it manifest in these last 30 years or so to destroy the nuclear idea of family. To destroy the biblical idea of family. There is such warfare being waged against children today concerning their identity. Even their physical identity. Listen, a five-year-old would not even have the means or awareness or experience to come up with the notion, a little five-year-old boy would not come up with the notion that he didn't want to be a little boy. That's introduced from someone else. And that brings us up to the second meaning of this word train. It carries the idea of inaugurating or initiating are introducing. Parents, godly parents, parents who desire to be godly parents, it is your privilege and your prerogative to introduce to your children the facts of life. You should introduce to them the way the world works. It should be your privilege to instruct them in the way they should go. We should not pass this off to others. But this is happening in today's culture where children are being introduced to material much too soon. Now, that doesn't mean that you can wait way too long to introduce them to material. There's a ditch on both sides of this issue. But they're children, not adults. You would not put your car keys in the hand of a six-year-old and say, hey, go out in the parking lot and bring the car around to the front door. Or if you would do that, our elders need to meet with you to make sure you never do that while we're in session here. But you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't take the gun you go turkey hunting with, 12-gauge shotgun, 20-gauge, whatever, and put it in the hand of your four-year-old, unless you were sitting right beside them with hands on it at the same time. Now, I know I'm in the South here, so I had to add that. But seriously, you're aware that a child should not be given certain responsibilities, or we should not assume they have awareness of the dangers that are inherent in certain situations that they've never encountered. That's the purpose of training them up and introducing them to the things that may come. So initiation to introduce information, that should be our prerogative as parents, not the world's. So be careful. And I keep coming back to this, and thank God, you know, that our electronic devices today can be used in redemptive ways, can be used in evangelistic ways, can be used to build the body. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. But it can also be used in very destructive ways. And putting that device in the hands of a child without oversight is dangerous, because then you allow other people to begin to introduce your children to information that you would assume they're not ready for yet. Or even if they're ready for some of it, people would want to teach them the way they think they should go instead of the way the Scripture says they should go. So this is serious. It's about our stewardship and our watch care over the lives of our children. That's initiation. That brings us to the third word that this Hebrew word has inherent in it. It's the idea of education, to train, to educate. To educate. That means to eliminate the degree of ignorance that any of us are walking in. Educate means you're learning about things. You're studying about, you pick a topic, pick a subject, you can be educated in it. And so we need to educate our children. They need to be educated in spirit. They need to be educated in soul. They need to be educated in their body. Now, I am borrowing here this idea, you know, when things are right in your spirit, you're holy. When they're right in your soul, you're happy. When they're right in your body, you're healthy. I borrowed that from one of my former pastors, Dr. Adrian Rogers. I love the way he was a master of alliteration. And I love the way that succinctly states this. But we need to educate our children spiritually. And when Mickey shared and other times I've shared, we've gone over this about making sure they know the Word and making sure they know how to pray and so forth. Knowing right from wrong, good from evil, the things we've already covered in this series. The soul. Now this is where I want to step back into this Scripture and maybe bring out a little different light than we normally would think of. We're to train up a child in the way he should go. If you got two children, they're different. If you got three children, they're different. If you got four children, they're all going to be different. Look around the room. There's nobody in here just like you. We're all different. I mean, we've got black hair, blonde hair, brown hair, brunette hair, white hair, gray hair, no hair in the room. We've got thin people, people that are not so thin, tall people, people that are not so tall. We got all kinds of people in the room, but our personality is different too. And this is where, if we're not careful in training a child in the way they should go, particularly if their personality is a lot different than yours. Mickey shared with you that when, you know, Andrew was born, Andrew was more compliant. The second child, our daughter Carabeth, came along, and she was a lot more challenging, just, you know, as far as being strong-willed and like, no. You know, and that was different. And, you know, like, you can be challenged. You may not be like necessarily a strong-willed type of person. You got a child who is. That can create an issue. Or if you got a child who's just like you, that comes with its own set of issues. Because you can over-identify with that child. They're like me, so they must be thinking like I think. So they're going to want to do what I want to do. They're going to react like I react. And so you think, well, this is easy. They're like me. But the thing is, you'll let them off the hook on all the places that you're blind to, that you're letting yourself off the hook. So we don't want to over-identify, but neither, if you got the child that's totally different from you, the enemy wants to work there to like create distance. Like, I just don't understand this kid. I know I love them, but I don't really like them. Now, I've never thought that. But I've seen people in situations that sure look like they was thinking it. You understand what I'm saying? But because they're so different, like, this is like the book that was written in marriage about men are from Venus and women are from Mars or vice versa. It's two different planets. But you can feel that way with your child. You know, they're so different. Like, I don't know how to handle this or manage this. What's key is we have to remember we're partnering with God. And God made our children. The Bible says He formed them while they were in their mother's wombs. In His book, all their members are written. He has a purpose, a plan, a destiny for their life. And we don't want to do things like living vicariously through our children and trying to make them do something they really don't want to do. Because you may love doing it, and they don't. We have to realize they're different. Our goal is to partner with God to identify strengths and weaknesses, just like the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus and Father are working in us to make us more like Jesus. We as parents are now joining the Holy Trinity and in this partnership to help our child to become more like Jesus. And we needed to think of it that way instead of like, I want them to be like me, or I don't want them to be like me, or I'm not going to let them be like my daddy, or I'm not going to let them be like my mama, or I'm not going to be that. You know, we can even get bitter roots of judgment in our heart that we carry toward our parents, and we make these vows, deep-seated vows inside of us, like, I'll never do what my father did. And maybe you were over-disciplined out of anger and rage, and it provoked you to wrath, and the seed of that wrath still inside of you in the form of a bitter root judgment. And now that's keeping you from giving the lovingly directed correction that your child may very much need. But here's what happens with these type of vows we make inside of us. More times than not, we end up like, I'll never do that. And that I'll never do that is the very thing that was working in our parents or our grandparents. Because you're judging your own heart by a wrong standard instead of the standard of the Word. You're going to reproduce that instead of the Word. So when it comes to parenting our children, we've got to be flexible and hold them in our hands like this and say, Lord, you've got a plan for them. I want to discern that. And a child, the part of this training, this education, is basically how to make good decisions. And making good decisions means making God decisions. It means making the decisions that God would make. That's a good decision. It's a God decision. And here's the hard part. But rewarding part, if we can do it correctly. And again, let me preface everything I'm saying. There's no perfect parents in this room. There's none of us that have perfect earthly parents. So don't crawl off on that hook and act like a worm. We're all in the same bait box together on that one. All right? But we have a perfect Father who's helping us. Okay. So you want to educate your children. I ran across a commentary by an old scholar by the name of Adam Clark. Clark's commentary. And I blew the dust off of some of those old pages. And I've got this quote. I thought it so succinctly says what needs to be said. Speaking of a child, show him the duties, the dangers, and the blessings of the path. Whatever path, show him the duties, the dangers, and the blessings. Give him directions how to perform the duties. Duties being the obligations, the right things that we ought to do. How to escape the dangers, and how to secure the blessings which all lie before him. Let me repeat that without interrupting myself. Show him the duties, the dangers, and the blessings of the path. Give him directions how to perform the duties, how to escape the dangers, and how to secure the blessings which all lie before him. I love that. I love that. So, in every situation, what's the right thing to do? And I need to give my child instructions on how to do this the right way. What could go wrong? I need to make them aware of the dangers. What will God honor and bless? Because I want them to secure the blessings. That's usually talking about doing those right things, but also doing them from the right motive. And this kind of changes and graduates as our children grow older. So we want to educate them spiritually. We want to educate them in soul. Coming back to the way that they're all different. You know, you may have an extroverted child. That's different than having an introverted child. The extroverted child, you may feel like you're having to hold the reins. Like, whoa, you know, they're going after it. Whoa. The introverted child, you may be like having to give them a little push to help them on the way. Both of them have very needed strengths. But both of them need to be aware of the very present weaknesses of being that way. Because we can run past the dangers. Or, if we're too introverted, we can hold back because of the fears and not secure the blessings. But the right way is to know the right thing to do in each situation. Be aware of the dangers and the wrong things that can happen. And then by faith, move ahead now properly informed and educated to secure the blessing. Don't assume your child knows that just because you do. It requires instruction to know the duty and to be aware of the dangers and to secure the blessings. And the goal of teaching our children to make decisions changes because what you want ultimately to happen is you're making decisions. You know, to start with, you have to make them. No, you can't have that. No, you can't have Doritos for breakfast. You know, but you can have a banana and some oatmeal. You just have to give directions and instructions. And then as they grow older, you can begin to invite them into the decision making. Now, I mentioned our second-born, Carabeth, that she was very opinionated as a little girl. And And even through elementary school, she wanted to pick out what she wanted to wear. Well, yeah, a kid needs to get to the place where they can do that. But what Mickey would do is, because sometimes she may not always select what she needed to wear for a certain kind of occasion. It wouldn't be appropriate. You know? So, what Mickey would do is she would go to the closet and she would pick out three different outfits. What a blessing to be able to do that, right? Pick out three different outfits that would, either of those outfits would be appropriate for that situation. Lay them on the bed, then call Cara Beth in. Okay, you've got this piano recital coming up, or you've got this event at school or at church, and you've got to make a decision about what you're going to wear. Now, here are three different outfits. All of these would be appropriate for the occasion, but I'm going to let you choose. So what just happened? Mom is still making sure that the decision the daughter makes will be appropriate, but allowed her three options in that decision so that she could understand she is now making the decision for herself. And ultimately, what we want to do is work to the point where when the child's alone and going solo, they're making the right choices appropriately in those different situations. Does that make sense? Okay, just making sure I wasn't talking to myself up here. That's important, and that's part of the education part of this. Okay? Now, the last thing I want to talk about is continuation, because this scripture said if we'll train up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. In other words, if we do our job correctly, they'll have the truth within them, the wisdom within them, that they can refer to make the right choices the rest of their life. Or even if they get off on the wrong way, they'll have that seed, that truth in them to be able to draw upon to get back to the way. You know, this is the way it works as a child of God. When you know the Lord and you start living for Him and you get off on the wrong off-ramp, He'll begin to chastise, correct, discipline you. And all of a sudden, you'll begin to realize, you know what? It was a lot better when I was living for God. This is miserable. These husks that I'm meeting in this pig pen aren't nearly as good as that sirloin that was on Papa's table. And then they'll come to themselves, arise and go to the Father, and the good parent has arms open, ready to celebrate. My son's home, my daughter's home. So, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. Now, as we've discussed this morning, I want to ask you, are there areas the Holy Spirit's put His finger on as we've gone through this? How are you doing on those five love languages? Are you showing some physical affection? Are you spending some quality time? Are you doing the acts of service? Are you teaching your children these things as well? That's a good little list to keep in mind. Are you taking seriously what your child's being introduced to? Are you running point on that? Are you training your child spiritually? Are you keeping in mind the differences in your children? Being aware of that, their temperament, their personality. And that's something that you can study on. And Mickey and I have discussed that would be some great classes that we could begin to offer about personality and understanding our children's personalities, differences, and those kind of things. Because like when you got married, you know, you married the person you thought you knew. And not far around the honeymoon time, you met another person that you didn't know that now you're having to get to know, right? Same way with our children, it takes time. But, you know, we just want to make sure that we're walking in love. And we'll have those days like when you feel like, I'm looking at myself. I remember doing this myself. And I remember what happened. Sometimes you can tell those stories. Or like, you really don't want to do, and as they grow older, like, you know, you're old enough to make these choices, but let me tell you what happened to me. And to build that relationship, because the relationship between a husband and wife of one flesh, and then a relationship between a child and his father and mother, I mean, that ought to be like at the center, the core of our lives. But aren't these the relationships where there's the most warfare? Wonder why. Wonder why. They're so important. I want you to stand with me. Our worship team's coming. I want you to bow your heads with me right now. And I know we had a ministry time earlier, but I do want some of our altar workers and staff, those of you who are scheduled, just to come up and be here. There may be people who, before they leave here this morning, still are in need of prayer. Maybe the Lord's spoken something, or the need has arisen even during this message. And we always want to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit may be doing. So these will be here after the amen is spoken, and they will gladly pray with you. So avail yourself to that opportunity. But if you would bow with me for a moment, I want to ask you, have you given your child to the Lord? I mean, by an act of your will where you said, Lord, I give my child. If you've never done that, even if they're grown, do that right now. Acknowledge, Lord, my child is a gift from you, and I hold them up to you and dedicate them to you. And ask the Lord in this moment to help you lead your child to understand that God made them, that God has a purpose for them, that He's always with them to help them. And I hope if your child has not made a profession of faith in Jesus, and they're old enough to have done so, that you will be much in prayer about that. What a privilege to lead your child to the Lord. Ask God for wisdom right now, that you would know the way your child should go. You know it's going to be His way, but what does that look like for your child? And I know in large part today I've just introduced some ideas that you need to further study. And please do that. But leave here today knowing that the Lord is with you. Start right where you are. Father, I pray for Grace House collectively this morning, that we would be a place where children are loved and respected and valued and nurtured and admonished in the ways of the Lord. A place where they find it easy to believe in miracles. That they're not plagued with doubt and unbelief about you or your word or your ways. May this be a safe haven for godly families wanting to raise godly children. May it be a place where struggling families who've never heard about Jesus will come to and be met with your love, transformed by your power. Mickey, would you bring me that microphone? And Brother James, I see you back there this morning. Would you come up? I want you to come up a moment. Two reasons. I want you to conclude this in prayer for us today. I know you carry a lot for family tree and our bloodlines, but also I think you're about to leave on the road again, and we just want to speak blessing over you as you go. Please tell us where your travels are taking you and stretch your hand this way. Say, we bless Brother James. Father, we thank you for our brother. May it go well with him. Give strength to his body, wisdom in all his ways, and anoint him for every assignment before him. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you tell us where you're about to head out and pray for us? Anything on your heart?
I leave Tuesday for Philadelphia. Brother Anthony and I will be there ministering concerning water.
Anthony Turner.
Water spirit things with Philadelphia. Then I come home on the March 30th. I'll be in Auburn, Alabama, worshiping on what's called Rosh Kodesh, or the first of the new month. And then on that next Wednesday, I leave for Alaska for 12 days with taking 25 people from South America who are some of the deepest intercessors I've ever met, taking them to meet Native American people in Fairbanks. Out of 574 tribes in America, 229 live in Alaska. And so Fairbanks is the center of the Native American population there. So these South Americans are going to model another form of intercession that is just tremendous. And then I fly to Colorado. I get home on the 13th of June, and I fly to Colorado on the 15th for 4 days. And then my life changes, because for the last several months it's been 70% on the road, 30% home, maybe even 80%. But I've made a decision that changes in July, and so I'll be 70% home and 30% on the road after that. And so it's just a change of season, and we all have those. And I'll go out on strategic assignments as the Lord leads, but it's just going to be home with him for a long time. And so that's what's happening with us. So thank you, Pastor Eddie, for praying on this last lengthy assignment for me. So, Father, we thank you that we're living in a nation, as Eddie's son did, done such a good job of, the warfare is over our children. It's always over the seed. And so, Lord, we're thanking you for what Eddie just prayed about, Grace House being a place where families can come and be strengthened, and so the future of our nation can be strong. Everywhere I go now, I'm hearing about the strength of the family. And so, Lord, we thank you that everybody here today, we receive. We declare that the windows are open. We declare that the light is filling all of us beyond what we can imagine, that the light of the world truly is ministering to all of ourselves, all of this within us. And every stronghold has melted like wax here this morning. Whether we realize it or not, there's been a grace here at Grace House for things that dogged you in the last season to melt like wax. So, Father, we're thanking you for the blood of your Son now and the promise of your heart and the pages of our book that are already written in Psalm 129, 139, you said. They're all written for us. We think that everyone is leaving here with a deposit for their book to open, and so they can see like they've never seen before what you've written in your scroll for all of us. So we praise you, Father. Our families are your dream. Our destinies are your heart. And so we thank you that you've already supplied grace. You've already supplied everything that we need to walk in the fullness of victory. And so we just simply receive that today. And we love you, Lord. And we thank you that your love will be magnified through us this week like we've never seen before. In Jesus' name.
The altars are open if you need prayer. God bless you. Have an awesome day.